Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the line, Congressman Tom Reed, with us to discuss everything going on, not just in Washington, but across the area when it comes to fighting COVID and how we move forward. Congressman, thanks for being with us this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you guys.
Hey, I want to start with just in Washington right now, the status going forward of a stimulus bill. Your understanding on where that is right now, what input you and other Republicans may have had on that or not had, and what you're anticipating as far as a timeline at this point.
Yeah, so it's been very frustrating. I mean, there was many of us, especially in the Problem Solvers Caucus, reaching out to my friends on the Democratic side, the White House, and now we're working with senators to say, you know, there's Republican input and good faith that needs to be had here, but it's been closed out. It's been done on a partisan, kind of old school, through Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and the president's folks that said, no, we're going to run this as a partisan play and not take any amendments, not take any input from Republicans. And that's a shame. It really doesn't need to be that way. And you're seeing areas in the bill, it's $1.9 trillion that are driven not really from COVID-19 responses, but mostly to put in the bill things that aren't related to COVID-19, things that are carrying out funding for long-term type of positions that the Democratic Party wants to do on partisan lines. And that's frustrating, but we'll keep trying. It's not done. We still have some things in the House and Senate that we're working on to make this a better bill. And stay tuned. We're just going to have to maybe respond in the like. Because remember, it takes 218 votes and 50 votes with this bill they're using in the Senate to get this done.
The federal investigation of the Cuomo administration over the handling of nursing homes, where does that stand right now?
Well, there's an active case. The FBI is involved. And we're continuing to push to get accountability and justice for those 15,000 souls that were ordered to their death with Cuomo's nursing home order, where he sent the people with COVID-19 positive to the nursing homes. And I'll tell you, there's trouble there. The cover-up is what the Justice Department is looking at. Cuomo's number two really has some hard questions, and I look at her taped admission to the state Senate and Assembly. It's clear to me obstruction of justice is there on her own admission that was taped and delivered to the authorities and made public. And I will just tell you, we're still digging, though, going further. Because I want to know exactly why they issued the order that sent COVID-19 patients from the hospital into the nursing homes. And remember, it was an order by Governor Cuomo to do that. And as we dig deeper here, I have an indication as to what caused that order to go in. And it's all about hospital lobbyists. It's all about the number two and Cuomo himself responding to more of the money of Albany. But stay tuned, because we're going to make sure that accountability is not just on the cover-up, but the underlying egregious order that sent 15,000 people to their death in New York, and also was, the order was cut and pasted, remember, to 11 other states across the country that put potentially thousands of other seniors to their death across the country because they just followed Governor Cuomo's order by cutting and pasting it.
Have you been told anything or have any information in terms of how long this investigation might take? Because that does become an important point when looking at, you know, his ability to still make these decisions across New York State.
You know, the investigation, the good news is it's going forward. So we're going to make sure that we put the personal pressure of our office and making sure the Department of Justice knows we're asking them to do this, go to a complete conclusion based on the evidence. And other members are making sure that they use their position as federal officials to say to the Department of Justice, do this, do it right, get to the bottom of it. So if it takes a few days, if it takes a few months, my bottom line is, you know, I don't care about headlines. I'm about the getting to the tip of the through the tip of the iceberg into the details and doing it right, because that's what's going to cause the whole house of cards to come down and root out this corruption at its branch as well as into its roots.
Do you think we're anywhere close to being near the bottom of this?
No, because you got to remember, it's not just the cover up that is criminal. Clearly from the taped admission from Cuomo's number two, DeRosa there, but it's also the underlying order that needs to be us as elected officials. Because, you know, you heard Dr. Zucker said, if given the same scenario, God forbid a variant takes over and we go back to square one and we have to start all over on COVID-19 because the virus isn't responding to the vaccine. Dr. Zucker said he would do it exactly the same way in the same fact pattern that is presented. And I've got to tell you, Governor Cuomo orders again COVID-19 positive seniors into negative positive or negative patients or negative residents and expose them to a death order like this again. And he's already committed he would do it again. God forbid we allow that to stand. That's why we have to get to the root of this corruption, the root of this decision making, because the arrogance of Cuomo to say, I would do it again exactly the same way, puts people's lives at risk if we have to go through this again. Never let that happen again.
There's been a little bit of an uproar in Albany over this. There's been some Democrats who have come forward and said, well, it's time to reexamine the powers the governor has. Has there been enough of that or enough urgency in your mind?
I think there is. And kudos to people like Ron Kim, who are, you know, starting to peel the onion back and show behind the curtain what we've all known for years and what, you know, this has become, you know, one party control, but it's really one party control, not Democrats per se. It's Governor Cuomo and the way he operates, his bullying and the way he's gone forward with governing. And I will just tell you, it's coming to an end in regards to this emergency order. That's good. You need a check and balance in Albany. And, you know, they gave all the power from the legislature to Governor Cuomo. And when you give that type of individual with that size of an ego and that type of bullying type of background, that amount of power, bad things happen. And look what happened. 15,000 of our most precious seniors died as a result of his order and his abuse of that power.
We are live this morning with Congressman Tom Reed. Tom, what do you think of the plan to allow visitation to return to nursing homes starting Friday? And that plan includes a rapid test or not, depending on the positivity rate in the community. But to enter a sports arena, you need a PCR test.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I support having this type of, and these are hard decisions. It's hard. It's COVID-19 is not an easy situation. So I appreciate the fact that visitation is going to be allowed. We have to make sure we stand with our nursing home facilities, that they have the resources to protect our seniors. But remember, I mean, I've talked to so many seniors and they've lost contact with their loved ones. They've lost contact with reality, a lot of them, because they don't have that human interaction. They don't have that 24/7. And then I just got off, you know, the families that have driven me so hard and working with them because of their experience of losing their loved ones, have horrific stories of what happened in the nursing homes to their fathers and their mothers. And, you know, the loved ones are the ones that go in and see how their parents are being taken care of, how their loved ones are being taken care of. So that, God forbid, if there's abuses going on, you need to make sure that visitation occurs. So you have that human interaction, and the loved ones are the best ambassadors to make sure their loved ones are being taken care of appropriately and not being abused. And I will tell you, I've heard horror stories, and we've all heard them in nursing homes. And that is where most nursing homes are good run, honest people doing God's work to take care of our loved ones. But there are abuses there. And what we have to do is make sure that those loved ones are taken care of. And by having visitation, that's a tool in the toolbox to make sure those people are cared for appropriately.
We've been talking quite a bit about schools this morning and the return to school, and that has been a topic of discussion in the Biden administration. But from where you stand, the federal government, what really can be done on a federal level to help facilitate that return to school on a five-day-a-week basis? I mean, it seems like there really can't, even if that is the goal. You know, 5 days a week, we want that next month. What power does the federal government really have to help make that happen?
You know, obviously we have the power of the purse. You look at the $1.9 trillion. Now, that's one of the areas that's being abused, in my opinion. You know, they have about $160 billion, I believe, and only even the independent bean counters, the Congressional Budget Office, say that even physically you can only spend $6 billion of that money in this year, and this is supposed to be an emergency response. And so you have the power of that resource of making sure that schools have the ability to have the PPE, have the ability to deal with COVID-19 positivity in their communities. You also have the incentives of making sure the vaccine is being supplied and appropriately delivered to those folks that want it. But as you look at the data, we also have tremendous access to data to show that transmissions of COVID-19 in school are very, very low. The risk of COVID-19 infection coming from the schools is very, very low. So you just got to mitigate that risk. You have to provide the resources, and you have to send the right policy. And that's where you got to have it based on the data. And you got to lead by saying, you know what, we want schools open. We're losing a whole potential year, 2 years of education, putting these kids behind even further. And the studies show long term how drastic of an impact this is going to be on these kids and their development. So we have to set the right tone at the federal government with, you know what, we can do it safely. We're a partner. We're going to give you the resources as teachers, as classrooms, and we're going to encourage you to go forward because we need to. And if we do that, we can let the local school districts have the resources to make decisions that are best for their communities.
Congressman, how seriously are you considering a run for New York governor? And if serious, how soon would you be making that decision?
I'm very seriously looking at it, and because you know I'm in this business to serve. I'm in this business not for a long-term political career, and I'm serving at the national level, changed to Washington, D.C. with our Problem Solvers Caucus work, that bipartisan work, and I'm being asked by many people I respect to run for this governor spot. This is my state. This is my home, and we're make no mistake about it, to take out Governor Cuomo. He's a monster. He's a Goliath. And I'm just a little country lawyer from Western New York, a little David over here trying to fight the fight. And so we got to do it sooner rather than later, because it's going to take all of us united, all of us standing together to say enough is enough. Governor Cuomo, you got to go. And we're going to do it as a team. So stay tuned. Well, I am. And when we go, I don't there's so many politicians that are afraid to actually do it. Because they're like, well, then, oh, my God, Tom, that means you're going to give up your career in Washington, D.C. Is, you know, why would you do that? You've got such a great career. Because you know, it's not about a career. It's about doing the right thing, for Pete's sakes. And that's what I tell colleagues who are, like, you know, trying to waffle and have their cake and eat it, too. It's time to lead. And I am all in on leading, not only at the national level, but if I can lead the state to a better future for our kids, I'm all in regards to that opportunity. And we just got to make some final decisions here. And that will have to be sooner rather than later.
We are talking with Congressman Tom Reed on WBEM Buffalo. Before we let you go, I do want to ask you if you're aware at all of, there was a story in NBC News just this week about a vaccination center that was supposed to be set up by the federal government in Chautauqua County that was kind of turned off by the state. So the state of New York said that a vaccination center would be better served in a different area of the state. So in the end, the federal government did not move forward with that Chautauqua County vaccination clinic. Wonder to know if you are aware of this and what information you have on this, where that vaccination center may have ended up instead of Chautauqua County.
Yeah, well aware of this. And actually, in an indirect way, another reason why I'm considering running for governor, because you have a governor in Cuomo who's a bully and has used now this situation against our people of Western New York, in my humble opinion. I think the question needs to be asked as to why, when it meets all the federal guidelines, why does he stand up to President Biden's administration and say, you know what, we're going to take it out of Western New York, Chautauqua County, this mass vaccination site, which means shots in the arm. thousands of people's lives that you're messing with, and you're now taking it away, and you're not moving it to somewhere else. That's the whole thing. This was an additional resource, because if you look at the mass vaccination sites that they're talking about in New York, it's all across the thruway corridor. It's all across the north. There's nothing in the southern tier. And it met every guideline from the CDC of people that are underserved, underrepresented. When it comes to the vaccine, the federal government, the president's administration said that this is where it needs to go. And Cuomo and his bullying tactics stood up and said, you know what, we don't want it down in that southern tier area. And it just, to me, it's just another example of what this guy does to try to make guys that stand up to him look bad, in my humble opinion. And I'm sick and tired of it. And we went to the bat. We went to fight for it. Now we see a statement last night that came out saying, oh, there was no plans to do this. There was no plans to have it happen. And I can tell you from people we're hearing on the ground, at least we're going to get a mass vaccination site back in the southern tier because we stood up to the bully. And that's what we're going to do going forward.
This was political demographics at work here, you think?
Oh, clear to me. Very interesting. When you have the president and the administration saying, you know what, this is where these max vaccination sites need to go, and you have one, this isn't taking resources away from anywhere else. This is just taking a resource away from the people that are underserved and need it, and just essentially saying, you know what, screw them. Screw them in Western New York, because they don't politically make up the political base of the governor, or because a guy is considering running for governor. And I'll tell you, that to me is politics at its worst. And that bullying needs to stop. And I have 11 older brothers and sisters, and I was taught by my mother, when you see a bully, you know what you do? You stand up to him and you poke him in the nose. And that's what we're going to do. And as a result of that, good news is the people won, because that vaccination site is coming to Western New York and to the people that would have gone without it because of politics. And we're saying, we're not playing along. We're going to stand up to you.
Tom, we appreciate all the time you've given us this morning. That's Congressman Tom Reed joining us live.